Hey, I'm Scott Hanselman, and it is another episode of Azure Friday. I'm here with Olivier Martin, and we're talking about Azure Hybrid Networking. If you showed up here first, stop, back up, and check out Hybrid Networking 101, the video that we did just before this one. This is Hybrid Networking 201, a little more detail.
Yep.
Digging in a little more advanced.
Sure.
Okay, so when last we left our hero, where were we?
I guess we were exactly on this slide talking about the different, and we didn't go really deep into it, but talking about the different peerings. So first thing, and to a lot of people, a peering is, they don't even necessarily, you know, we have VNet peering. You had Narayan in some episode a while back on this. And so the peering, when we're talking about ExpressRoute, is not the same thing, right? We're talking about BGP peering, and BGP is standing for Border Gateway Protocol. Okay. Which is a routing protocol.
Okay.
So exchanging route tables kind of thing.
This is a standard thing, not a Microsoft thing?
It's absolutely not a Microsoft thing. It's the basis of what internet is built on, essentially. This is how providers exchange routing information with each other.
Okay.
So it's typically a protocol to exchange, like, I have, you know, I know how to get to 10.100/16, and you have 192.168/16, for example, if you network guys are familiar with that notation. And you would tell me that you know how to reach it, and I would tell you I know how to reach 10.100. So therefore, if you need to talk to 10.100, you'll send me the packet. So typically, this is used across organizations. So carriers or Microsoft has a big, a huge network, and will tell we'll tell all the providers connected, and we have thousands of them. Here's the networks that we have. So they know how to reach Azure. They know how to reach Hotmail, all our properties. So at a smaller scale, ExpressRoute is doing exactly that. So here, in that peering location, you have Microsoft routers. And then you have either the customer routers or the partner routers. And we'll look at the connection models later. You'll understand why I'm saying there's one or the other. But between the two, there's VLANs. I'm not sure if
it's a term. LANs. Yeah.
Exactly. Which is a way to logically divide a network. Network engineers really
is it logical or physical?
It's a logical division.
Okay, so you're drawing, as I say, like a dotted lined box, and saying, okay, everything in that box, this is this VLAN.
Kind of. So if you there's one physical, let's say there's one interconnection here, one fiber,
right?
And there's another fiber here.
Okay.
Both are active, by the way. It's not active passive. Both can route traffic.
Right.
And on that wire, or picture this even as a copper wire between two computers.
Okay.
Instead of having just one wire, VLANs logically divide that wire into multiple wires. So one of these is the blue connection here that goes on the primary path and secondary
Path. Like lanes on the freeway.
Exactly. And that connects you to your what we refer to as the private peering.
Okay.
So what's in the private peering is typically your virtual networks. So you could have, like, here there's one cloud, but you could picture this, and we'll show it in the demo a little bit later, but you could have multiple virtual networks that are all connected to this Microsoft Edge here. And what that allows to do is that allows you to route between the different virtual networks.
Okay.
And that also allows that the Microsoft Edge to advertise the routes to your on-premises router. So, for example, if in one virtual network here you have 10.100.0.0/16, which means essentially 10.100.anything, this will tell the Microsoft Edge, hey, if you want to reach those IPs, send me the packet. And the Microsoft Edge will tell to the other router here, hey, if you want to reach 10.100, send them over to me. And that'll propagate into the customer network, and this is how the customer is able to reach all the VMs and certain services that are that can be put inside of a virtual network, like the app service environment, for example, which is a past service.
This may be an ignorant question, but
absolutely
ignorance
absolutely
is my not. Ignorance is my superpower. what if you're using very common, well-known IP address ranges like 10.100 and 192.168? When you have a large and sophisticated and growing network, what about collisions and different subnetworks that have the same at least locally the same IP address ranges? Can't you get into some collisions and trouble?
Yes. And it's the same kind of collisions and trouble you can get into when you think of one big company acquiring another company. When you connect those networks together, you might get into these issues.
Okay. So this is about planning.
It's about planning your IP address space, essentially.
Okay.
So when customers start thinking about deploying virtual networks and stuff in virtual networks, I always tell them, well, guys, you should think about, you know, reserving a block of IPs for your cloud stuff that's not already used elsewhere in your company. I mean, there's probably ways to make it work, but it's not a good idea. So when you have multiple of these, you need to make sure that they're not overlapping each other if you intend to connect them together.
Interesting. That is a good point. That seems like a good thing to plan if when we're doing a startup and starting to get bigger and bigger, if you're going to be acquired.
Planning is good.
Yeah, 192.168.1.1 may not necessarily be where you want to be.
Yeah, and quite frankly, if you're acquired, there's good chances you're going to have to make those changes anyways.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's for the private peering.
Okay.
So connectivity to virtual networks. Now, the public peering, which is the one here, is connectivity to the Azure public services. Typically, well, what we always say, platform as a service or PaaS. So things like SQL Azure, storage, there's machine learning.
Sure,
there's
DocumentDB, star.azurewebsites.net.
All of these things, right? They all resolve to public IPs. So if you do a ping and you're trying to get to scott.azurewebsites.net.
So public DNS, public IPs.
Exactly.
Okay.
So if you're trying to reach these hosts, your resolver in your workstation will just find out that this is maybe 23.1.1.1, which happens to be a Microsoft-owned IP. So in the public peering, what we do is we advertise, just in the same way we advertise the 10100 here, we advertise the Microsoft Azure data center IP address space here.
Ah, okay. So then when I'm at my customer's network and I go to, you know, scott.azurewebsites.net, even though it's the public network, because it's been advertised to the edge as being available in a certain way, it will go over express route.
Absolutely.
Not foolishly off, you know,
That's the idea.
Interesting. So everybody wins with ExpressRoute.
Absolutely.
All properties. Does that mean also that when I plug in ExpressRoute, I'm guessing here that my Office 365 is better and faster and stronger as well?
Yeah, but on the Office 365 piece, there's some caveats, and we really encourage you to talk to your Microsoft account team before onboarding this journey, because there's challenges and it's not necessarily always going to guarantee you a better experience. For instance, imagine you have a circuit. Remember, there's the map we shown in the previous episode.
Right.
Your circuit might be in Washington, D.C. So if you have a user that's in the west of the United States and is trying to connect to some front end that's just across the street from them and they have to traverse America's back and forth.
Ah, there you go.
This is not necessarily going to be the best thing. So you really have to plan in a smart way when you're doing this, especially for workloads that are very sensitive to latency and that impact thousands and thousands of users.
That's a really good point. I mean, this is a dedicated route, a dedicated circuit, but the speed of light is the speed of light.
And you know, not a lot we can do about it.
Yeah, exactly. And you might indirectly want to make things faster for your users, but now it's a full quarter of a second latency because light.
Because light, and this is just in the U.S., but imagine the scenario if you have somebody in Hong Kong going through that same peering location in Washington, doesn't make sense. So you have to be very careful in terms of how you plan this, which is usually not affecting as many people when we're talking about the public peering and in much more controlled ways.
Interesting. That makes a lot of sense.
Cool.
It's starting to come clear.
It's coming clear. So we're talking about the partner edge, and I said it's also, it could be the customer's router that's there. So let's just real quick look at the connectivity model. So a customer that says, all right, I'm on board. I want to go there. This is what I need. There's basically three different models to get there. There's the co-located at the co-location at a cloud exchange. So we have multiple cloud exchange partners. One of the ones we have is Equinix, and a lot of customers put gears in those facilities.
Okay.
So once they're there, they can get a wire from Equinix or from the partner, because they're not only these guys, but they can put a wire and, you know, get that express route connection through that wire and then have, in some way, shape, or form, connect those routers to their own network, if that makes sense. So that's what we networking geeks refer to as a layer 2 connection.
Okay.
And there's another version of the same thing, which is instead of having your router directly in that facility, you have that router on your premises and have somebody extend a pair of fibers from that facility over to your data center. So it gives you the same kind of benefit.
Right.
And the last one that's pretty popular in other scenarios is a layer 3 connection. So most big customers have a WAN, which stands for Wide Area Network, mm-hmm. which connects offices around the world, sometimes more maybe around the country. But they might have maybe 100 offices, and you can add an express route connection to that WAN. Mm-hmm. So what that does is that anybody in any office is able to directly connect to that express route circuit without necessarily having to go through a data center.
Okay, so while you don't have an actual physical direct wire from you to the express route, you make the distance between your WAN customers and the express route as small as possible, so the variance of issues that could happen are as minimal as possible.
Yeah, but even if you do that, you might need more than one express route connections because the same problem arises where we talked about crossing the United
exactly.
States. So even if you have an MPLS WAN
right.
or a big IP WAN network mm-hmm. that spans the United States, if you have only one express route circuit in Washington, mm-hmm. even if it's over a connection that goes onto your WAN,
right.
you still might want to think that I might want one in Silicon Valley.
Right. I travel a lot, and when I VPN into Microsoft, I pick the nearest server that can accept that connection so that I might
That's the same idea.
Same. Okay. Excellent.
That's exactly.
Okay. And
the
I understand
same idea.
You have a demo as we end here.
Yeah, exactly. So just looking really quickly at the portal here. This is the logo for the Express Route, and I purposefully created
oh, wow.
a circuit for us.
Thank you.
So if we click on this thing here, we see a few properties. So we see where the circuit is. This is one I created in Seattle.
This is Seattle, and this is South Central. What is the difference between that? Because this is down Atlanta.
That's an awesome question. And it's confusing a lot of people, in fact. Seattle is really physically where that interconnection takes place.
Okay.
So this could have been Japan East. What that identifies mm-hmm. is the network resource provider. So in Azure, there's the storage resource providers, there's the network resource provider, there's the compute resource providers, which okay. are kind of the control plane of Azure.
Right, the manager.
Exactly. So the manager of this is in South Central US because the resource group that I've created
okay.
was in South.
Does it matter? If this
no.
was in North Japan, would it be slower? It wouldn't. It's
no.
just that it the manager.
It might take a few more seconds to set it up.
I see.
Once it's set up, the data path is here.
So this is really just about where your landlord lives, not where your apartment is.
This is an awesome comparison. Yep.
Excellent.
Absolutely what it is. And then there's the bandwidth.
Wow.
50 megs, but it can go up to 10 gigabits per second.
All right, cool.
So, and then you see, we talked about the peerings in the previous slide. That's the private peering. This
right.
is one that I have enabled.
Mm-hmm.
If you needed to enable the public peering, it's pretty simple.
Oh, and there they are right there, exactly. Private, public, and the Microsoft, each all laid out right there.
Exactly.
Okay.
Primary subnet and secondary subnet is configuration details of these things,
mm-hmm.
of you know, between the two routers, which IPs are used. So I put things like 10.0.0.0/30
mm-hmm.
in a real environment that would probably not be the IPs you would use, but you could use these.
Okay.
Cool. And now the other thing, that you know, we talked about having express route connections to different virtual networks, right? So I have three virtual networks that exist, and I've created three different gateways. So just like you would create a VPN gateway to mm-hmm. connect into your VNet,
mm-hmm.
you would create express route gateways so that you can connect your express route circuit to that VNet. So I've already connected ER Gateway 1 and ER Gateway 2, which are two different virtual networks,
mm-hmm.
they are already connected to my Seattle circuit. But the third isn't. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to create that connection for you. So you would go here on connection, you would simply click add and give it a name. So let's call it circuit 3, for example. And here you would choose an express route connection type. And it wants to create a connection between two elements. So
mm-hmm.
the first element is that gateway. And the second one is the express route circuit. Because
mm-hmm.
I could have multiple. Remember, I could have one in the east of the
right.
continent or elsewhere in the world. So this is where I will see my two different circuits.
Right.
So I will select my Azure Friday circuit. And then I'll simply click on OK and wait. So while this is connecting, here's what we can do to test. So I have one VM here on the left.
Mm-hmm.
If I look at its config, you would see it has the IP address
yep.
1 and 2.
Four.
Okay. And if I do the same here, I have 3.4.
Okay.
So as I said, VM1 is on virtual network 1. VM2 is on virtual network 2.
Okay.
And if I try to ping
192.3.4.
You got it. They get a reply. So okay. Those two are connected already.
They can
already.
Talk to each other.
Yeah. However, if I have my third one here, which is on VNet 3, and I try to ping the same IP, so it's not responding.
Okay. Because they're not on the same network. They're not connected.
Exactly. So this is connected to my circuit. Mm-hmm. This one is connected to my circuit. And this one is connecting to the circuit.
In the process.
In the process. Normally it takes about, I mean, I've tested it earlier, it takes between 1 and 3 minutes. Mm-hmm. Once it's connected, you will see the echo replies from that ping, which essentially means those VNets can talk together and different workloads. You can do much more than a ping, obviously, mm-hmm. and you can connect those two depending on the gateway's queue you chose. Mm-hmm. Again, this is an advanced detail, but you can connect to as much as 10 gigabits per second between those virtual networks.
It's so amazing, as someone who spent much of the 90s pulling wire from place to place, the advent of software-based networking is mm-hmm. just unreal. And I wonder if people, particularly younger people, appreciate
I'm not sure
how we are standing on the shoulders of yep. giants, and how a really well-organized network is a thing of beauty.
It is, and you know, there's nobody running in the data center right now.
Yeah.
And just,
yeah, I just assume, I imagine still, just because of my age and probably your age as well, when you click add, you imagine that someone gets a fax and like, okay, and then they run and they start pulling cables to make that happen. It's all magic and it's all happening.
It's all magic, it's all software defined, and you know, sometimes it takes more time than others, but it's generally under 3 minutes.
Okay, so if you hop over to your Azure account, real quick, your portal.
I would see
it's
updating.
Updating right there.
So this is what, you know, in a few.
And succeeded, so that's what minimized.
So succeeded tells me that there's good chances within a few seconds we're going to see the ping go through.
All right, let's see. And there it is.
Et voila.
Fantastic.
So by the count here, we see 117. It's about 2 minutes.
That's pretty.
It can take more or less, but
that's pretty.
But
slick.
Then we've got a region, we've got a virtual network. I believe I don't remember exactly where I created it, but I think it's in West U.S. Mm-hmm. and the other guys are in South Central U.S. So we've connected resources pretty much across the United States within 2 minutes.
Fantastic! This is Azure Hybrid Networking 201 here on Azure Friday.